Last week we started off with an idea. Do you know what we were talking about last week, last time? Not last week, but the week before. God is all what? Remember? All powerful. That's right. We started off with that one. And we talked about the idea that most of us live our lives a little bit like this. Most of us live with what's called circumstantial theology, which, let's be honest, at this time on a Sunday morning is a bit hard to take in because that sounds a bit technical. But the truth is very easy to understand. All it means is this. What I'm feeling and experiencing right now determines what I believe about God. So what's going on in my life now will make me assume things about God that may not be true. So he doesn't care because this isn't changing, right? Stuff like that. And because we don't know what God is up to, because we don't have his vantage point and can't see what he sees, because we're not all-knowing, we try and piece together in our finite minds what God is doing in our lives. And we used a little illustration. It's a bit like we're living in this cardboard box, like your kids make a house out of a box in your house. So there's a house in the house. And all they can see is the cardboard box. But outside it is this massive house. And that's how our lives are like compared with God. We're in the box. We don't see what's outside of it. And that's what it feels like. It affects how we see God. That's what it does, doesn't it? When you can't see everything, when you don't know everything, it affects how you perceive God. And based on that limited and inaccurate picture, here's what we tend to do. This is what we talked about. We said we tend to then start operating on our own. Because I don't get a grasp of who God is, I start living as if it's all down to me. Not this omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God who we declare but never really turn to. Because we're in our little box and that's all we can see and we never look beyond it. So we talked about that. Contrast that with a God that we know. Yet we choose to live our lives, often in our small, badly drawn boxes, without ever looking out far enough to say, God, will you help me? I know who you are. I'm going to turn to you. And we turn to everybody else, don't we, instead of God. We turn to anything else instead of God. And yet we declare him to be God, all-powerful, all-knowing, and yet we don't turn to him. Last week we were looking at that reality. We're saying, actually, we need to turn to God, the God who is living within us, who has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, and the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, rose, raised, is that the right grammar? I don't know. Raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. That power, that's amazing. And yet often we'll do it in our own strength. So this week we're going to look at the fact that God is all-knowing, that he is all-knowing, that he can see everything. Now there are some things you probably don't want to hear from the mouth of God. For instance, you never want to hear God say, oops, do you? Do you want to hear God say, oops? No, I don't. That could be a disaster. You don't want God to be Homer Simpson, do you? You know what Homer Simpson's famous for saying? You don't want God to be Homer Simpson. There are things you do not want to hear from God. And the Bible says, don't panic. He is all-knowing. Which is fantastic. But because of our limited frame of reference, because we live in our little badly drawn cardboard box, we have a hard time grasping the nature of God being all-knowing. So we tend to compensate. We compensate by thinking that we know. That we know, and we know enough to do it on our own. That's our problem. We think we know. Let me give you an example of how we think we know. Here's an example. The UK population, this is for some of you, this is past. For some of you, this might be present. The UK population is about 60 million people. Of those, there are an estimated 15 million people who are single, okay, in the UK right now. Of those, about 60% are single men over the age of 16. About 60%. That means there are about 8 million men out there, single men. Ladies, I'm just flagging this up. There are 8 million single blokes out there from you to choose from, if you haven't already. And ladies, you have determined, and did you ever do this when you were, maybe it's a bit late for this now, obviously, but But when you were single, did you determine to find Mr. Right? Think about that. 8 million. And you said, you know what? I'm looking for Mr. Right. That's quite a tough ask, isn't it? How do you know the one you got was Mr. Right? This is messing around with your heads now for the rest of the day. Because did you check all 8 million? Did you check them all? How do you know? If you didn't check all 8 million, there might be a more Mr. Right. No, let's not go there. But, you know, how did you know? For men, it's a bit easier. You've only got to work... there's about 7 million women to pick from for your Mrs. Right. So you've got it easy. You only have to think about which one out of the 7 million women. Ladies, you've got it tougher. You've got to find out of 8 million men. And the fun part is 7.8 million of them, about half of those single men on the planet and single women, are using internet dating to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. And that's guaranteed not to work entirely perfectly either. So, you know, I mean, most things that you buy on the internet are disappointing, aren't they? So how do you know? I'm getting myself in deep water here. How do you know? So, I mean, I have had stuff from Amazon that I've sent back. But you can't do that if you've married them. But yeah, but you get the point. How do you know? Here's my point. How do you know you were looking for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, Mr. or Mrs. Right? How do you know? It's crazy to assume that you know everything or can know everything, isn't it? It is crazy to assume that. It is crazy to assume we can know everything or that we do know everything. Most of us have trouble recalling facts, don't we? I have trouble recalling names. I was listening to Radio 2 yesterday in one of the quizzes and I could see the face of the celebrity they were talking about. I couldn't remember the name to save my life. I have three children. I have two daughters and I'm constantly calling Hannah Chloe and Chloe Hannah. And yet I think I know enough to get by in life and I can't even get my daughter's names right sometimes. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? I don't think my mum knows my name. My mum will work through every auntie and uncle and vague relative before she gets to my name. Hello, Phil, Bill, Keith. She just sort of works through them. It's great fun. Most of us in this room trust people, however, with knowledge that we don't have, don't we? We trust others with knowledge that we don't have. But so often we don't know if they know. Do you know if they know? I mean, you're going to get on a plane next summer to somewhere sunnier than here. Who's the pilot? Do you know him? Do you know his name? Do you know if he can fly? Do you know if he passed his grades with an A or an E? Did he just scrape by? Is he the pilot who somehow managed to, you know, how do you know? And yet you trust them with your life, quite frankly. How do you know? Here's another thing we don't know. We have no idea what's going on. You have no idea what's going on in my life right now. You're all sat there taking advice from a person and you don't know what my life is like. We trust others for knowledge so often, don't we? And yet the reality is, it is a heck of a lot of trust because we don't know. We have to live by trust, in fact. You know what all this proves? It actually proves that you have the capacity to trust. You have the capacity to trust people that they know more than you do. That is a fact. You have that capacity. But the harsh reality is this, that we serve and we worship and we sing songs about this great God that knows everything, but we often struggle to trust him. We will trust the pharmacist is going to put the right pills in the bottle. We will trust the pilot is going to be able to take off and land properly. But do we trust him with important things in our lives too? We have the capacity, but will we do it? Will we do it? Turn to your Bibles. Find a Bible. You got a Bible? And find Isaiah chapter 40. If someone can yell out the number, the page number. Isaiah 40. See if you can track it down. Have you got a page number? Isaiah 40. It's a great chapter. Just talking about, it's sort of an omni-text. It's all the big bits about God that we go, wow, is that how big God is? 576. Page 576 in your Bibles, if you dig that out. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 40, and it's verse 12. Let me read this to you. And this is the guy you should be trusting. This is the guy who knows stuff that you should trust as much as you trust other people, if not more. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heaven with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth? Or has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? He knows the weight. Who is able to advise the spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Have you ever found yourself doing that? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? Have you ever done that with God? Have you ever enlightened God on things he really doesn't know? God, now come on. Have you ever done that with God like he doesn't know? Ever had God on your counseling couch and given him some useful advice? Now, God, I think you've got this wrong. I think you need to sort this out. This is really important. And I think, yeah. Have you ever done that with God? I have. Let me show you some simple but deep things that Isaiah declares about this all-knowing God. Here's what you need to know. First thing you need to know from Isaiah 40 is this. God's knowledge is unlearned. Nobody taught him this stuff. Nobody told him. He didn't go to school. It's intuitive. God has never, ever had to study or do research or any of that sort of stuff. And I remember when I'd been to school or to college, I know some people who must have thought they were God. Some students who thought that, because they never studied and they never read anything and they never did the work. That's a really good free one for all you parents with kids at school. You must think you're God because you don't need to study or learn anything or get any, you know, and some people act like that, don't they? But with God, everything can be learned. Everything that has been learned or will be learned or can be known, God already knows. God's knowledge doesn't change. It doesn't grow. He doesn't find more stuff out. He already knows it. It is completely unlearned. It is intuitive. He just knows. Here's the second one. God knows everything that's knowable. The writer of Hebrews declares, he says, everything his creation is laid out before him. He sees it all, the mountains and the depths, and he sees all that stuff. Which means there's nothing that he can't see. He knows your innermost thoughts right now. Now that might be comforting. That might not be so comforting. God knows my thoughts. And God not only knows you, he knows himself. I love that about God. God knows himself. Have you ever struggled? You ever meet people who go on trips and say, I'm going to find myself? I always think it's quite fun, really. You can have a bit of fun with that. I'm just going to find myself. Oh, really? Where did you last see yourself? I mean, it's that sort of stuff, isn't it? But it is true. But the truth is, you don't know yourself. You should be the best expert, but how many times have you done stuff and said, oh, that wasn't me? Hang on. No, it really was you. You just did that. But what you've done is you've just surprised yourself. You've just done something and you didn't think you would ever do that. Most of us, here's how much we don't know. We don't know ourselves. We surprise and shock and confuse ourselves with our own behaviour sometimes, don't we? So maybe we do need to go on a trip and find ourselves. Maybe we do. Because the truth is, we're not very good at it. Who am I? You know what God says? God never says that. He never says, who am I? Why did I do that? Oh, that was a bit weird. He never does that. He knows himself perfectly. Nothing he does shocks him, surprises him. It's amazing, really. And the other thing that Isaiah tells us is that God knows every detail. I love that. God knows every detail. The New Testament talks about that. Famous verses, you know, not even a sparrow worth half a penny can fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. It's getting easier for him for some of you than others. But he knows how many they are and how many there were. He knows. So if he knows the details, don't you think he knows the bigger things too? If he knows the little inconsequential details of life, don't you think he also knows the big things that you're having to handle at the moment? Don't you think he also sees those and knows those? Don't you think he knows what your hopes and dreams are? Don't you think he knows what will bring you fulfillment? And what will bring you contentment and what won't? Don't you think he knows all that stuff? And if he knows the details, if according to Psalm 147, he knows every star and has named them, don't you think he knows everything about you too? The big stuff and the small stuff. David said this in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know everything about me. Not only does he know the details of life and of every sparrow and every hair and of my thoughts and my desires and my feelings and my hopes and my all of that stuff, he also knows my sin. That's the bit we're probably less comfortable about. He knows what I've done this week. He sees it. He knows me. He sees that too. And that's why David is humble enough in Psalm 139 just to confess that. Oh Lord, you've examined me. You know everything about me. You know when I stand, when I sit up. You know every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me when to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. Lord, you precede me and follow me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. He knows the turmoil in us as well as the potential in us. Here's another awesome thought for you. Here's one awesome thought for you. Not only does God know what's happening to you, he also knows what could happen. Not only does he know what's happened, but what can happen. It's an incredible encouragement to me. Many people have speculated about alternative histories. I love reading a bit of sci-fi, and there's some based around that. There's a thing on Netflix about all that, and what if the Nazis won the war, and you know, it's great. There's some amazing stories about what ifs. You know what? God knows all the what ifs. He knows all the what ifs about you. What if you'd been born at a different time? What if you'd been born in a different place? What if you had different parents? Some of you may have thought, you know what, I wish I had different parents because if I had, I wouldn't have to deal with this now. What if? He knows all the what ifs. What if I'd gotten married? What if I hadn't gotten married? He knows all the what ifs. And if you're thinking, and the trouble with this, and this is why we struggle with God, the trouble with this, if he knew all the what-ifs, why did he let it happen? That's the trouble with an all-knowing God, isn't it? He knew! So why did he let it happen? This all-knowing God, here's what you need to know, this all-knowing God designs your life and upholds it and strengthens you, because even in your pain, there is more of what can be. God can take what happened and he knows the what ifs about that too. He knows what he can do with that. In fact, you could never be this sometimes if that hadn't happened. And you wouldn't wish it on anybody, would you? But God takes it. And somehow he turns it into something else. He knows what can be, and because of that struggle, he knows what you can become, that you would never have become without it. And that blows your mind, and I don't understand it. And sometimes I wish it was another way, but that is the way God is. He will take it all, and he knows the what-ifs from now, from this moment on, and the potential, and what could happen because of all sorts of stuff that's happened in your life. He can take it and he can use it. That's the God we're talking about. In him, everything that can be known, he already knows. He knows himself, he knows you, he knows every detail, he knows what could have been, he knows what can be. But we keep going everywhere else but to him. That's our problem. We have a capacity to trust others who have greater knowledge than us all the time. We live like that. But so often we turn to everyone else first instead of him. Let me ask you a question. Who is it that you go to when you've got issues? Who do you go to? Who's the first person that springs to your mind? What's the fastest and quickest and most secure place that you go to? Worst case scenario, if we're really honest, we just handle it ourselves. That's not good, full stop. Don't handle stuff yourself. The other thing we do is we run to other people, to our friends, to our family, to our pastor. That's not wrong. We do need other people, and the Bible talks about wise counsel and the counsel of the saints, and we do need other people. But here's what is wrong. Here's what's wrong. We will talk to everybody else first before we talk to God. Why do we do that? Could it be that we don't trust him enough? We go everywhere else but to him first. And you know what? The greatest indicator of if you're likely to do that is your prayer life. Is your prayer life. If your prayer life is you're taking stuff to God regularly, that's an indicator that you are taking it to him first. But if your prayer life is pretty flat, pretty intermittent, pretty, and yet you've got loads of stuff going on in your life, but you're never talking to him. What's that say about your belief that he is all-knowing and all-powerful? What does it say about what you really believe about this God? That's the challenge, isn't it? The theologically astute among you may be wondering, well, if he knows everything, why do I need to pray? That's a good question, isn't it? If God knows everything, why do I need to pray? Isn't that a waste of time? This is what Jesus says. Oh no, I won't put that up. This is what Jesus said. Jesus says prayer at its most basic. He says when you pray, he assumes prayer is going to happen in your life because simply you don't know everything. The reason to pray is because you don't know everything. And he does. Prayer is an acknowledgement in your life. Prayer is an acknowledgement that God knows and you don't. That's really important. Your prayer life is a beacon. It shows off how much you trust in his all-knowing nature. It shows that off. So let me close by reminding you a truth that we learned last week that applies to this too. Remember we said the all-powerful God, the God who said, "Let it be so," came in the person of Jesus, showed off the power of God, did some amazing things, raised Jesus from the dead, and then that same spirit is where right now? Where is that spirit, this all-powerful, raised Jesus from the dead? Where is he? In you. So let's just apply that to this one. This all-knowing God, guess where he is? By his spirit. Where is he? He's in you. You have within you the all-knowing God. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians as we close. Listen to this. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit. Not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. That's great. Don't you read that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that staggering? That spirit who knows the mind of God is in you. It is God in you. By his spirit. That is staggering. If you're a Christ follower, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, then the Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And that Spirit sees all things and discerns all things. Wow. You have the capacity for knowledge living inside you right now. Why would you ever stop asking him to speak to you? Why would you ever stop that? I'm not saying you don't need friends. I think you do. I'm not saying you don't need family. I think you do. I'm not saying you don't need wise counsel. I think you do. But God's all-knowing Spirit lives in each of his followers, and we don't trust that enough. We don't believe that enough. Why do we go to every other source first instead of to him? That's the question. Why do we never pray? That's the question. What would your life look like if you trusted that God is that, is all-knowing, all-powerful? What would your life look like? So what do you need to know today? I suspect there are things you need to know. Based on what's going to happen this week, you need to know something. What do you need to know? Have you talked to him? Have you had a chat with him? Are you going to go there first? Or are you going to go there last? That's the question. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we're sorry for looking everywhere usually first before we ever turn to you. We're sorry that we struggle along with stuff that we don't understand and we can't comprehend and we're confused by, and we never come to you and say, God, help me. Forgive us. Forgive us when we haven't asked you, when we haven't trusted in your all-knowing nature. And we know that sometimes our prayer life is a warning sign because it's just so weak. I want a heart. We want a heart that trusts in your omniscience, your all-knowing nature. Would you drive us to you in prayer this week? Because we have the faith to believe simply this. You know. You know. We ask you to help us with that. In Jesus' name. Amen.